the perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. P.S. he loves it.
They've got the chocolates and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather around, gather around. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Yeah, here we are again for the Monday Waffle Podcast. My name's Simon Orchard. I'm joined in the studio by Matty Fasalis, fresh off a stint at 6pr this morning. What time did you get up this morning, Matt?
I got up at 2:45, so it
was
just
morning. How are you
feeling
at the moment?
I'm feeling dishevelled, I'm feeling sleep-deprived and lacklustre.
Oh dear, and we should say most of our cohorts are off gallivanting around the country, work experience all over the place. ECU has a little break at the moment for our course. And
we're the dregs, we're the suckers who've been left in Perth.
That's it, this is all we have. We literally have no one else to call upon. I think Vonnie might be joining us a little bit later to do some fixtures for next week. But here we are for episode, 10, should we say?
It could be 10, it could be 9. We've had a bit of an issue with the numbering, and we're not going to name names for who's responsible.
Well, it's you.
It could be me.
It was you or Andrew, but anyway, obviously a lot of people out there paying attention because they've clearly missed that we've missed an episode 8 somewhere. We did it, we just named it something else. Anyway, how's your weekend? How was your weekend?
It was good, it was good. It was busy, fast-paced, but, you know, plenty of good footy. Both in the Waffle and the AFL, so, you know, plenty to talk about.
And we should say we're covering the split round of the Waffle, so it's rounds 9 and 10. There was 3 matches about 8 or so days ago now, and the remaining 2 matches on the weekend.
So it kicked off with Subi and Perth, which I actually went to the match, and it was a dreadful game. Subi absolutely decimated Perth by about 69 points.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Because Perth have been great this year, and this was, I reckon, one of their first real challenges. And it was just an absolute whitewash.
Whitewash. And, you know, the Lions outclassed them in every single facet of the game. Even when the rain came down, I thought, oh, yeah, this might be a bit of a leveler here and we might actually see things tighten up. But still, they were way more polished and Perth couldn't get a sniff of the ball.
11-13-79 to 1-4-10. So a 69-point shellacking. You talked about that rain, Matt, and you were out there. You were one of 1,400 people. So the crowds took a real hit a couple of weekends ago. Got to say, maybe the weather, because the Waffle's been pretty strong, I reckon, so far this year. It's an interesting competition, but a combined total of about 3,000 people across 3 games that weekend, which is a pretty disappointing turnout.
Well, it was abysmal. You know, the winds were coming in. It was gusty. And, yeah, there were patches of the oval that were just completely flooded, you know. It was like Venice out there.
All right, let's move on from Italy, a place we'd rather be. West Perth took on the West Coast Eagles in the second match of round 9. West Perth, 11-6-72, absolutely spanked the Eagles 4-12-36. We've talked about it a few times on the Waffle Podcast. Bad kicking is bad footy. You can't kick 4 goals and 12 behinds and expect to be competitive. And West Perth, a little bit of a resurgence, the Falcons.
Yeah, well, you know, they were just simply more clinical in front of goals. They took their opportunities. And, you know, Shane Nelson, he was brilliant for them.
A star, 32 disposals, and he wasn't the only one. Corey Chalmers had 30, Connor West 25, so there's a few guys winning the ball.
But Chris Marston was also good for the Eagles. I've got to give him credit as well, even though, you know, they didn't win, he was definitely a shining light for them.
And there's a couple of other players who are interesting from a West Coast Eagles point of view. Keegan Brooksby, so I think Nathan Vardy has been suspended for AFL footy this weekend, so he won't be playing against Essendon on Thursday night. So obviously Tom Hickey has come across from St Kilda and is playing that ruck role, and he might do it alone. But Keegan Brooksby's been pretty good in the Waffle this year, so it'd be interesting to see if he gets a game. And Brady Gray, remember him?
Yep.
A few games with Freo, A handful of games for Freo.
I was surprised he didn't even get a look in at that at the, you know, mid-season draft.
Yeah. Well, he's a guy, obviously, with AFL experience who I think is starting to play a bit of a role in this West Coast side. And I think West Coast wouldn't be happy with a couple of their performances in the last month or so, but he's another guy who had 25 touches in that game.
Moving on to Claremont, they played really well against the Swan Districts. And I know you wouldn't think it from the scoreline, but it was actually a fairly close match prior to the final quarter. And what happened was they just kicked away. You know, in the final quarter, the Tigers kicked six goals, not Father Christmas, to the Swan District's 1. And Hampson, of course, he was good and continues his good form, but Claremont just simply have too much talent in that midfield.
And Georgie Hampson, one of the favourites of this podcast, we had him on, well, it must be a month or 5 weeks ago now, said some pretty interesting things.
The controversial cast.
Yeah, but what I like about George Hampson, he seems to back it up most weeks. He goes out there and plays really well, another 32 disposals and 2 goals in this game. So it's one thing to come out and talk a bit of smack or even just be honest and tell the truth, but you've got to back it up on the field, and George Hampson having another fantastic year.
Indeed.
Did we miss a game there? Did you jump ahead?
I'm sort of all over the shop, mate. I don't stick to a formula. You can't contain me.
Yeah, you don't own me. All right, let's go back to East Perth and East Freo. It was the last game of round 9.
Yes, the Battle of the East.
Yeah, and another pretty average day. I think from memory it must have been like 15 degrees. It was pretty cold and windy down there, and the Sharks just having a wonderful season all of a sudden. Couldn't win a game last year or the year before, and have come out 13-11-89 to the Royals 3-9-27. A lot of low scores in round 9. You'd have to put it down to the weather. For the Royals, Jackson Ramsey had a pretty good game, 27 touches. Rowan Kerr, 34 touches. Obviously not many goals for that side.
Well, they didn't show much in the match overall. I know for the Sharks there were a few standouts, and among them was Blaine Bocost, who was pretty phenomenal throughout the entirety of the match.
And Blaine, correct me if I'm wrong, Carlton listed?
He was AFL listed, yeah. I can't remember which club exactly, but yeah, he was definitely on an AFL list.
And an interesting sort of sub-note here, Cam Eardley had 30 disposals and a goal for the Sharks. Now, Cam Eardley, the brother of Kai Eardley, who tragically passed away a couple of years ago now, did a bit of an assignment on him for our course, met up with his mother a couple of weeks ago. It was a pretty sad story about young Kai, but it's great to see that Cam is playing waffle footy and hopefully enjoying himself and obviously having a great game here as well. And one more game for the round?
Yep, we've got South Fremantle, and they took on Peel in what was probably the closest contest of the round.
A ding-dong battle, 10-14-74, saw South Freo topple Peel, 11-5-71. And look, there were some stars all over the field for both sides, but we caught up with Mason Shaw, who kicked 4 goals, 2 on the day. He's kicked 29 goals for the season. Matt, I think you asked him what he thought of the match.
I actually had an exam Friday night and then another exam Saturday morning. So going into the game, I was probably more focused on that, to be honest, which for me is always a good thing to take my mind off footy before a game because it makes me think about it a bit less. But I was pretty stressed going into the game with everything going on, but I just tried to play my role and compete for as well as I could, and sometimes that allows me to kick goals and sometimes it doesn't, but just fortunate that on the weekend I could get on the end of a few goals, and it just worked out for me, which was nice.
Hey, Mace, you touched on a couple of cliches there. Where do you sit on cliches in footy about just playing your role and getting on the end of a few? Is that what you really believe, or is it all about the team? Wouldn't you like to just be a bit more, a bit more individualistic sometimes? You've kicked nearly 30 goals this year, so you're having a pretty good season.
Well, it is. It's easy to sum it up with cliches, as you said, but no one in the team, especially when you're playing forward, I think, when you think too much about yourself and become selfish, and it is really noticeable. So those things can filter throughout the team, and if you become selfish in nature, and then people start to pick up on it, then it does impact you as a forward. So I think that obviously playing your role for the team, as cliche as it does sound, you actually get more reward going forward.
There you go. Hopefully his teammates are listening. Very team-oriented. We like that here at the Monday Waffle. Hey, Mason, tell us a bit about the game on the weekend. 3-point thriller. It seemed like you had, 24 scoring shots to 16, so it sounded like you were the better team on the day, but tell us a bit about the match.
Yeah, I think we controlled it for most of the day. I think momentum's a huge thing in footy, and we probably lost momentum by not kicking goals at crucial stages, which could have maybe flattened Peel out a little bit. And they were kicking them from everywhere, especially in the first three quarters. I think they were 9-2 or 9-1 at one stage. And so little moments like that probably cost us. And it's just good to get another win. I think we've had probably four games now that have been decided by under 4 points. And we've just found a way to win in three of them. So if we have lost 3 out of 4 of those games, then we're definitely not sitting in the position on the table as good as we are now. So, yeah, it was really good for us to just grind away and sort of kick that goal at the end, which got us over the line.
Mason, you got a pretty tall task ahead of you next week versus Subi. Where's your head at going into that?
Yeah, it's the biggest task in the waffle, really, is how to stop Subi. Not many have found a way over probably the last, well, at least 3 or 4 years now, but they've been benchmarks for a very long time. You have to be at 100%, exactly 100%, to beat Subi, no less. If you're at 99%, then they'll just find a way to win. So we've found a way to beat them last time, obviously different circumstances leading into this game, but we're confident that our best footy can match it with the best in the competition. We're both 8-1 at the moment, so yeah, we're excited for the challenge. We love playing Subi, we love testing ourselves, and yeah, it'll be a great opportunity for us to Saturday to have a go at them again.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Monday Waffle. We're talking to Mason Shaw, the goal-kicking extraordinaire from the South Freo Bulldogs. Hey, Mace, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the influence of Nick Subin down at South Fremantle. He's the gift that keeps on giving. What sort of influence does he have on your team? And he's, you know, he's been out of the AFL system for a couple of years now. We talked about him as one of the better players to come back from the AFL and have a real influence on Waffle footy. So he had another big game on the weekend. How important is he to your side?
Yeah, Nick's massive, and the best thing about him is that he's got such a level head. Obviously he's played in big moments in the AFL and for a long time, and he's got lots of experience, so being such a young group and having young leaders developing and trying to make their mark on the team, he's a real calming influence for everyone. I think he knows how to put everything into perspective, and you know, when we're going well, to try and not get ahead of ourselves, and when things aren't going well, that's not the end of the world. It's been a godsend really getting it to our footy club in the last couple of years.
Well, you've certainly got a strong group of players developing down there, and you know, your position on the ladder is testament to I guess your continued progress. And you can see South Fremantle take on the Subiaco Lions. It's the battle of the top two teams this coming week. And thanks for your time, Mason.
Thank you.
Let's get ready to rumble!
It's time for the Monday Rumble. And today's Monday Rumble topic is fairly topical. And basically, it's been in the papers for the AFL. There's a lot of crowd control going on, and typically what happens in the AFL ends up sort of filtering down to the waffle, so I thought it's probably pertinent we talk about it, and that's those crowd control tactics that are being employed by the AFL at the moment.
Oh, boo.
So you're not a fan of the crowd control?
No, oh, it's an absolute joke. I watched the AFL on Sunday, maybe Saturday, I'm not sure, but there was security guards walking up and down the stadium and monitoring people and grabbing different people at different stages. Now, I hear what you're saying. It does filter down to the waffle, and I guess the aim is they don't want this look of crowds getting passionate and launching vitriol across the fence or at the players at lower levels, because you can imagine there's less security, there's less structure in place to stop people getting close to the players. But part of club footy, suburban footy, is being down on the fence. There's not many people at some of these games. There were 700 people at the West Coast game last week. I pay my $10 or $15 or whatever it is to get in. Within reason, I've got a right to launch whatever sort of tirade I want, as long as it's not racist, sexist, anything to do with, you know, those taboo topics which are just plain wrong. You can't talk about those things and you can't say those sort of derogatory comments. But my mum and dad always told me, sticks and stones will break your bones. Names will never hurt you. So within reason, you can say, oh, come on, umpire, what are you doing? You could yell at a player who's not putting 100% effort in, say, come on, get off your ass and get back in there.
Yeah, what sort of worries me is that people often don't know the line. So recently you had that incident with Gerald Ugel where he was targeted quite sort of systematically throughout it. And we also had, when we went and saw East Perth versus Claremont, Jai Bolton getting a fair bit given to him. And because of the immediacy of the waffle, you're oftentimes a lot closer to the action. So these players, these umpires, it's even more in the forefront for them. So I think almost it's setting a good example, and hopefully this will filter down a little bit to the waffle, and you know, the crowds will be a little more civil. Not everyone, but you know, those who are doing the wrong thing.
Well, it's not the polo, Matt. We're not down watching the horses gallop around with our Chardonnay and our cheese and biscuits. It's the footy. You know, people are sitting. What do you expect people to sit there with their arms folded? No clapping, no cheering. That's what it's going to get to. It's going to get to a point where overzealous security guards and people in positions of power are going to come up and tap someone on the shoulder who's just trying to have a good time, who's trying to support their team, who's passionate about the direction of their club, and say, hey, you, get out. And that's going to start filtering through fan groups where, for example, Nat Edwards, who used to work for AFL.com, said on the weekend she felt like she couldn't cheer for her team at the AFL. Now, this is where it starts to become a real issue. If you can't cheer and barrack and support, gee whiz, we've got a bit of a problem on our hands. And again, the suburban footy, I love the fact that the ball can roll over the boundary line, touch the fence, and there's someone standing there, not saying anything too derogatory or discriminatory, but just saying, come on, mate.
But what about all the brawls that have recently broken out at these suburban fixtures? You can't say you love that as well.
No, I don't like that. Don't condone violence whatsoever. But look, it is hard. You're right. Some people don't know the line, and those people need to be turfed out. But for 95% of people going to the footy, they're doing the right thing. So here we go, another Monday Rumble, and I reckon we're not going to agree again.
Give us your opinion in the comments. And we've now got our upcoming fixtures with Yvonne.
Right, so round 11 this Saturday, the 22nd of June. First up, we have East Freo versus West Coast at New Choice Homes Park. I have no idea what that is, fellas.
New Choice Homes Park, I don't know. I think it's in... Actually, I don't... I thought it was in South Perth, but I think that might be Mineral Resources.
South Perth? No, that's Laughlin you're talking about. Mineral Resources Park.
Mineral Resources. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Mineral Resources Laughlin, not South Perth.
Yeah, so you've got no idea.
I've got no idea. I thought Mineral Resources was in South Perth.
Anyway, what's your tip, Vonnie? Who's going to win?
Okay, so I heard that East Freo were terrible, so I was going to go West Coast, but apparently East Freo have been winning some games. Is that right?
They have, yeah.
Yeah, last year.
Cool. All right. Well, so I always like to back an underdog. So, yeah, let's go East Freo.
Or an under shark.
Under shark.
It's obviously in Fremantle, East Freo home game. Who's next, Vonnie?
Okay. So, next up, South Perth versus Subiaco at Fremantle Community Bank Oval, which I'm guessing is in Fremantle.
Good guess. Safe guess.
And following the theme of Fremantle, I'm going to go for South Freo.
Yeah, why not?
They've been in form.
And our boy Mason, who we spoke to earlier in the show. More goals coming his way, I'm sure.
And they beat Subiaco last time, so there's no reason they can't do it again.
All right.
Cool. Okay, next up, Perth versus Peel Thunder at Mineral Resources Park, which you said was in Laughlin, is that right?
Laughlin, yeah.
Laughlin. Okay, cool. So whose home game is that? Would that be Peel Thunder?
That would be Perth.
Oh, that's Perth. Okay, I'm going to go for them because I think that they'll do well in a home game.
Why not? And they've had the week off. So last time they played, we spoke about earlier, Vonnie, they got smashed by Subiaco. But a team that's been on the rise in 2019, so I reckon Perth could get the bickies as well.
Alrighty. Next up, Claremont versus East Perth at Claremont Oval. I'm just going to have a wild stab in the dark and say I think Claremont will win.
Yeah.
Pretty good stab. And what do you reckon, Vonnie? I'm not sure if you've been out to Claremont or Matt either, but they've got apartments now which... are built up around the stadium.
Yeah, I love it.
You love
it? If you're watching the Cricket World Cup, there's a few ovals who've done the same thing. Yeah. I reckon it's a great look and a great way to utilise those areas.
You'd like to live there, you pair?
I mean, yeah. I'm not the biggest footy fan, so probably not, but I'd like to go there for a weekend, like at a friend's place, if a friend lived there.
And what about, remember great viewpoint for all the skin that you mentioned
earlier. Oh, yeah. It would be perfect. Prime perving opportunity. Yeah.
All right. On that note, let's move it on.
So last up is Swan Districts, and they're versing West Perth at Steel Blue Oval, which I believe is in Midland.
Is it Bassendean?
Or is it Bassendean? Yeah, I don't know.
Up towards Guildford.
Okay.
Up there.
That area, east-ish.
And it looked good. I drove past there on the weekend, so the rain, I don't know, seems to have done well for the Oval. Looks pretty nice.
Oh, that's lovely. And who do you boys think? Swan Districts or West Perth? I have no idea.
I'd go Swan Districts, I think. Yeah. Just the whole home ground thing. Plus, you know, West Perth, they're a bit up and down. You know, they lost to East Perth a couple of weeks back, so... Yeah.
And there's an interesting sort of sub-story unfolding. Nick Natanui is rumoured to maybe be back in the Waffle this weekend.
Really?
Normally would play for Swan Districts. That's where he grew up. But now with the West Coast feeder team and obviously East Perth taking over the West Coast feeder team, Swan Districts fans would be spewing seeing him running around in another jersey. But thanks very much, Vonnie. That's round 11 of the Waffle.
My pleasure, guys.